You can see there's only a few scriptures for today. Let's see how time treats us today. I believe Bubba is 16 this week or last week. Is that right? Many happy returns. We pray that the strength you have on the outside, God will give you on the inside. Amen. Amen. Right. Last week we were looking at building, and it's easy just to have a theme and just think, well, let's just do something. But I truly believe that this is a year that the Lord wants to build with us. This is the year of Jubilee. This is the year that debts are cancelled. This is the year that the prisoners are set free. This is a year that we can stand upon that double portion promise that God gives us in Isaiah 61. He's not just anointed me, he's anointed you, he's anointed us to preach good news. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. I read this last week, and it's about weighing up the cost of something. And I don't know about you, but when I made that declaration of faith all them years ago, I knew there'd be a cost involved. There'd be family members that wouldn't agree with me. There'd be friends, so-called friends, that I don't have anymore. There'd be challenges that comes along the way, or am I the only one? It's true, isn't it? There's going to be challenges. There's going to be a cost. Salvation is free. But there is a cost involved in all that we do. And so for us this year, I believe that even just singing the last hymn that we had is a challenge. Stand, you know, with our arms open wide. And when I look back at the photographs that Nigel has taken over the years, most of them are with me doing this in that particular spot because I'm a creature of habit. But the Lord speaks to each and every one of us. And whatever it is that the Lord is saying to you afresh this year, there is a cost involved. Weigh that cost up, and if you're going, Lord, I'm willing to pay it, then move forward knowing that he's with you. If you don't want to pay it, then he won't force you. But for us as a church, as we go forward, I have a privilege of looking back at some of the miracles that we've seen in church life. And many of you may not be aware of them, and I don't have time today to mention them all, but there is miracle after miracle. And when I say miracle, they're things that only the Lord could have done. There are things in your life and things in my life that we look at them and we can so easily take them for granted because the Lord is so good and gracious to us. We can look and say, look what the Lord has done. There's times where he's healed our bodies. He's changed our mind, as the hymn says. He saved me just in time. That's a miracle in itself. So the Lord has, I believe, been building and building and building a foundation within our lives. And now is the time. There's a word that keeps coming back to me. Stand and I will stand with you. It's something the Lord gave me many years ago. It was uncomfortable for me to stand in a certain situation. I won't go into it. But I believe the Lord asked me to stand. And he said, if you stand, I will stand with you. And ever since that day, he has been there beside me, behind me, in front of me, underneath me and above me. He's not just given us an armor, but he's also our rear guard. So I want to encourage us. I want to encourage us to believe that this is the year that the Lord is going to shower his favor upon us. This is a year that God is going to answer a prayer that you've had and petitioned him on for a long time. Let's dare to believe. There are some things that the Lord has said to me in years gone by, and I will share them with you in the next coming weeks and months. But for me, I sit there and I go, no, surely, Lord, you can't use me. Surely that's not for me. That's for someone else who's far smarter than I am. But the Bible is true. It says he chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. But there is a cost involved. Let's be willing to pay that cost, whatever it may be. We start something, let's bring it through to completion. So today I want to talk about unity. That's why it's so apt that we pause at 12 o'clock and we pray one with another reciting the Lord's Prayer, joining hands around the world in unity. And that's what I wanted to speak about today. So it's an apt title for a message that I believe the Lord wants to encourage us with. In Nehemiah, this whole portion of scripture, I started reading it last week, and it talks about a rebuilding of a wall. It talks about something that laid in ruins. And the Lord spoke to Nehemiah's heart, and Nehemiah went to inspect. And so for you and I, we can take the truth of what God said through Nehemiah. We can take the truth of what it took to do such a thing, to see something not just botched together, but rebuilt and restored, something that was fit for purpose. And I want you to equate it to your life. Is there something that seems to be tumbled down? Is there a relationship, a circumstance, a situation that seems to be broken? Well, if God is true, and I believe he is, he can restore that. He can rebuild that. And there'll be times where you can't do it on your own. There's a revelation. For me, I like to be in control of what I do. I don't ask very often for help because I want to do it myself. Not because I'm proud or I'm arrogant, because I just like my own company and I want to do it the way I want to do it. But there's times I realize in life that I have to call upon others to help me. There's things that I can't do, and I am blessed with friends who will come along and do the things that I can't do. But here's the key. I need to ask. I need to ask. You can imagine, Lord, you know that I need these things. Well, have you asked? Well, no, but you know I need these things. Well, have you asked? You know, one of the things that really bless me when I read scripture is things that jump out at you. And it's like there's a blind man comes to Jesus. You familiar with that story? A blind man comes to Jesus. Now imagine that we're here in this hall today, and I say to us as a congregation, and I know sitting in the congregation is a blind man. And I go, I believe the Lord is here to heal. And the blind man comes forward. You would expect me just to pray for sight, wouldn't you? But Jesus didn't. He said to this blind man, what do you want? What is it you want from me? You see, not everybody in a wheelchair wants to get out of the wheelchair. Not everyone who's blind wants to see naturally, because God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. But if the Bible is true, and I believe it is, it says he'll give you the desires of your heart. This man says, Lord, I want my sight. Well, according to your faith, let it be done. So we need to ask. We need to ask for help. We need to just send an email, just write a letter, send a carrier pigeon, whatever it may be, just articulate to someone else, I'm struggling. Would you pray in this situation? Put that prayer on paper and say, Lord, I expect it to be answered. And let us join together with you, no matter how small or big it is. If it matters to you, it matters to us, it matters to him. So when we look at this whole story of the work being done, Nehemiah went around and he examined it. And he looked at every area, he went through every gate, and he found out where the weak spots were. And then he kept it to himself until the time came where he had to share it with those that was going to rebuild. And as he started to share with them, he started to put families in positions where they could work together, where one could do the work and the other one could watch their back. There would be a circumstance, I said last week, where Sanballat represents the enemy, came along and started to ridicule. He didn't even break the wall down, he just used his words. And so often, when we start something, we get excited about it, or I do anyway. And then someone comes along and they go, you can't do that. And we think, because we're men of faith and women of faith, we go, no, you're right, I can't do that. Because we know our weaknesses. But if God has put it in our heart, then he'll bring it through to completion. And he's not left us on our own, friends. We are a body. We need to come together in unity. We need to be those that will recognize our individual strengths and our corporate strength. You know, sometimes we can be forgiven for praying this prayer. Lord, we're but a small church. We may be a small church, but we're a mighty church. How do I know that? Because Christ is in us. You see, we don't come with words of eloquence. We want to see a demonstration of the Spirit's power. One of the things, I'll be personal here. One of the things the Lord spoke to me many, many years ago. He said, I want you to dress for the ministry that you've been called to. And I wanted to be like everybody else and just come to church in a shirt, a nice shirt. But I'm someone that likes suits. I just do. I used to work and I'd be filthy from 6 o'clock till 6 o'clock in the evening. I'd be oily and greasy and just full of muck. And I just love suits. If I had my way, I'd wear a three-piece suit and a tie every single time I go out. But that would be a little bit too much. So I'm dressed in the office that God's called me. This is me. This is who I am. It's like a shield to me. When I put on my jacket and I put on a suit, then I just seem to grow like I've got a uniform on. I can't explain it. But I need to be obedient for what God has said to me. And he said something different to you. I don't expect you to come to church in your Sunday best. But God wants to restore something in our lives. And I may not get through all the scripture that I have today, but I want to say to us that this is a time of unity. This is a time of coming together. This isn't just a new year. We make New Year's resolutions. I don't do that anymore because I normally fail. I just say, Lord, you've set before me a race. Help me to run it. Keep me fit and healthy that I may run the race set before me. I don't need to run your race. I don't need to run someone else's race. But there is a time that we can see the race, and it's a relay race. There's a time where we do what God's called us to do, then we pass the baton back to someone else. Now it's your turn, you go. And what we need to do, we need to be a church that will be cheerleaders. When we see God blessing someone else, we should cheer them on. Look what the Lord has done in their life. The Lord has blessed them financially. The Lord has healed their body. And if you're still waiting for yours, let's not be that church that goes, it's not fair. God's blessed them. Let's be that church that says, you can do this. I'll run my race. You run your race. Let me help you get over the line. One of the greatest things and the privileges that I've had over the ministry that God has blessed me with is seeing other people succeed. My job is to see other people reach their potential. That's why the Bible says that when it comes to spiritual gifts, it's there to equip the saints. It's not there so you say, look at me, I'm a prophet, I'm an evangelist, I'm a teacher, I'm a worker of miracles. It's to simply say, God has gifted me, now I want you. I want you to take what God has given you and run with it. I hope you don't mind me getting a bit excited, but God's word is true. I want to encourage you. Yes, you can. Stand, he will stand with you. You're not on your own. You don't have to repair that wall yourself. You don't have to repair that breach yourself. Call out to him. If you don't want to share it with me, if you don't want to share it with us, then share it with the Lord. Say, Lord, I can't do this. I can remember time and time storming out of my house. Did I hear storming out of my house? Walking out of my house briskly and just complaining and saying, Lord, I can't do this anymore. And scripture is awful at times because it says, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And then you're reminded of things like Peter on the water. Take your eyes off your feet and put them upon me. Fix them on the author, the perfecter. This is simple stuff, isn't it? I remember Paul's wife, Jenny Philby, saying to me many, many years ago, she said, Andrew, can I have a word? She said, I've been in church for many, many years, and you know what? I never realized how simple the gospel was until I came here. The gospel is simple, isn't it? We don't need to complicate it. If you ask, you receive. If you realize that you are who God says you are, you can do all things but through him who strengthens you. So that's why it's important for us to listen to what God says and not listen to the deceiver as we brought last week. To be a church that will be mindful of 3 minutes of what the Lord says. Can I get through another scripture in 3 minutes? He says, joyfully. If we look at this in 1 Corinthians 12, 12, it says, just as the body, though one of many parts. You know this scripture. It's talking about the body of Christ, talking about us here. There's not just one part. Can you imagine if we were all a leg? We'd just walk around in circles, wouldn't we? Or all a head, and that'd be swelling, that'd be big. But we're many parts making one body. Christ is the head. He's the author, the perfecter, the finisher. But you are that body. I am that body. I know the things I can't do. But I know there's things you can do that I can't do. I know the things I can't achieve. But there's things you can achieve that I can't achieve. That's what body ministry is. You see, we should be a church, and I believe we are. And our track record gives testimony to that. That we encourage others to be encouraged. That we equip others. In fact, we equip them so much they leave and go do something else far bigger. That's how much of a blessing we've been in church. That people are so confident in who they are that they can go out into this big bad world and make a difference. That's what God's called us to do. To equip one another to be who we've been called to be. So that we are one body. But we serve the same Lord. We have one master, one Lord, one King, one God. There's only one way. And this is why we need to understand, I believe, what scripture says when we are challenged by someone else that may say, yeah, but there's many ways to God. No, there's only one way, and his name is Jesus. It's what the Bible says. It's not my word, it's his word. So we're all baptized into one spirit. I'm going to just go and find, if I can, the Lord's Prayer, and we'll just join together in unity with those around the world. Let's see if I can make this work. There you go. God, Nigel will be proud of me. Okay, just give it just a few moments, because I know it's only a minute, but I want us to be right. If we're going to join with other people in faith, let's join with them in faith. Let's believe that when the Lord's favour falls upon people, it makes a difference. Let's believe that there are the miraculous that will happen. Let's believe as you lift up other people, as you're thinking about this, that there'll be a name that's on their lips. So, if you would join with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We pray, Father God, as your people are joining together around this world of yours, that there would be individuals that would be blessed and touched. Unity. Now, that's a part of unity. Something so simple, isn't it? Now, if I'm honest, I'm not somebody that watches a calendar. Someone would come into church and they'd say, oh, it's Pentecost Sunday today. Ooh, didn't realise that. And it was someone else that reminded me about this prayer and how timely it was that it was on the very day that the message is about unity, about unifying with those around the world. And it's about us unifying one with another. It's about us seeing that we are one body made up of many parts. Some of you will have more to do than others. But you know what? If there's a bridge that needs to be built, and there's 1,000 bricks, and all you have is one brick, is that brick important? Of course it is, or else the bridge won't be built, will it? So it's important. So it doesn't matter how much you do. It doesn't matter how little you do. It doesn't matter how you contribute. Be who God's called you to be. And if you don't know what that is, ask him. There are many people that they look at a platform ministry and go, oh, I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't sing, I can't dance, I can't do children's work. Can you praise? What do we hear in this hymn? It's our praises. That's the river that our enemies drown in. I kind of like that. I don't think I should, but I do. It's the river that our enemies drown in. You know, as we praise, as we move forward, as we become positive, do you know what, we make a difference? As we smile in all circumstances, we pray through all circumstances, we make a difference. Why? Because we're one body, we're not on our own. So I want to encourage us as we continue into this year that I want you to evaluate yourself. I want you to look at the job that you're in, look at the career that you have, look at the time and the situation that you have at this moment, and know that you're not on your own. And know that you're not going through this on your own. As we come together, and I believe this is a year that we can take hold of this. I don't very often, if you look at any messages that have been recorded over the years, you won't hear me say, you know, God says we've got to do this, or God says we've got to do that, or I had this vision, I had this dream, because I'm very careful with my words. But there are things that I believe the Lord has spoken to me about, and there's things he's spoken to you about. There are things and plans and purposes that he has for me to prosper me and not harm me. There is an opportunity, see, a dunamis of the Holy Spirit. Dunamis, that's dynamite of God. Not just something small, but an explosion. And I believe, if I'm going to be put myself out there, I believe this is that year. This is that time. There's been a foundation that's been dug, a foundation that's been built. And I believe with all my heart that the Lord can trust us. And when we look around, we think we're a motley crew. God, I'm back looking in the mirror. We're a motley crew. Just as Gideon understood that if the Lord brings about a victory, it's the Lord. It's the same as us. Come on, let's be honest. We know. We look around and we go, God, can you use us? Yes, he can. God, are you going to pour out your spirit through me? Yes, he will. Lord, will you give me that utterance? Will you give me that wisdom? Will you give me that discernment? Yes, he will. Why? Because I know his word is true. In This scripture here in verse 9, it says, two are better than one. Now, we look at the return of our labor, and it's talking about so often just a relationship between husband and wife, but it's true when it comes to friendship. Two are better than one. You know, if I'm putting, if I'm doing something at home, I'm a DIYer, and I need to put a beam across, so often what I'll do is I'll screw a peg into that, and I'll put that piece up, and I'll come over here, and I'll do it myself. But you know what? Two would be better than one, wouldn't it? Because they'll just hold it up, and they'll screw it, and we get it level, and it's right. Why do I struggle in life so often? So often it's because I don't want to ask anyone. Is that pride? It might be. Don't let that be what stops you from moving forward this year. Don't allow pride. And I say that in the right sense. Me, myself, and I. No, it's not me, myself, and I. It's we're part of a family. You know, so often there's someone will say something, and I'll say to them, why didn't you ring me? Well, I didn't like to. I would have come. I could have said no. If I can't do it, I'll say I can't. But we're not programmed that way, are we? We don't want to take advantage of anyone, do we? We don't like to ask for help because we don't want to put people out. God put us here to put each other out in a good sense. To ring up and say, can I have some counsel on this? What do you think about that, Andrew? What should I do about this? Do you know anyone that could help me with X, Y, Z? Well, I can't, but I can put you in the right direction. I can point you in the direction of someone else. Let's start to ask this year. And I can say that with confidence because we are not a church that take advantage of one another. But we need to remember that we are a family. There's one body. Christ is the head. And two are better than one. And if two is better than one, then three is better than two, and four is better than three, and so on and so on and so on. When I get motivated much more when I'm with people. I don't necessarily like to lead other things, but I like to be part of a team. I want to do what I can do. And that might mean just being a labourer. Well, I'm happy to be a labourer. I'm happy to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked. So let's encourage one another this year. Let's believe this year that God's going to do something not just natural within us, but supernatural. You know, I'm not a cheerleader for the church just going, God is going to do in empty words. No, these are living words. These are his words. How good and pleasant is it, it says in Psalm 133, when God's people live together in unity. And it talks about the oil. It talks about the whole symbol of anointing. You know, I'm not going to pour oil over your head next Sunday. That's okay. Not as a sign of unity, but that's what they did. It was a sign of an anointing. When God chose the next king, the leader, there'd be an anointing. And it says, when we dwell together in unity, and it's putting this into context, it's not just plucking out the word unity and making it fit into my message. The truth is this, when we dwell together in unity, there's a blessing. There's a blessing. We're unified. It doesn't mean we all have to believe the same thing. We believe the same Lord. We are indwelled with the same Spirit. But you might have a slightly different idea about X, Y than I do with Z. That's okay. They're differences. I wear different shoes to you because my feet are a different shape to your feet. I prefer to wear what I'm wearing and you are comfortable in what you have. I don't ask you to wear what I've got and you don't ask me to wear what you've got, but we still have unity, don't we? I know that because we're here. We're dwelling together. And there's a blessing. And I want to encourage us, not because we don't have that unity, but because I want to encourage us to be able to see what God is going to do in us and through us. To have that excitement within us. You know, I used to listen to this old preacher and he would take the mick out of the English accent. And he would say, I've been into English churches and they sing this song, the joy of the Lord. And they go something like this. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And there's no joy at all. And he takes the mic. He says, you know, in us American churches, it's the joy of the Lord. I don't want us to be superficial. I want there to be a joy that bubbles up from the inside because we come together in unity. Yes, you could have had a rubbish day. Yes, you could have had trial and tribulation. Yes, but we can come together and we can say, Lord, if I look at you, I'm not looking at me. Lord, if I look at you, I'm not looking at my circumstance. And as we start to worship together, as we come together in unity, Lord, we believe you. That's unity. Lord, you can. That's unity. Lord, here I am. And it's not just one or two of us, it's all of us. Here I am, Lord, use me. Not here I am, Lord, send him. Lord, here I am, use me. And God will take the talents and abilities that you have as part of this body, and he will use you to glorify his name. It says in Romans 6:26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And this scripture is telling us that we're not on our own. The Holy Spirit indwells us. And so often, if we're not careful, we can take this whole picture of the Holy Spirit and super spiritualize it and think that if we don't shake, shudder, rattle and roll, if we don't have these massive visions and dreams, if we don't speak in tongues, if we don't do this and don't do that, the Spirit's not working in us. Well, the Spirit is working in us. How do I know that? Because you cannot be born again unless by the Spirit of God. You cannot say Jesus is Lord except through the Spirit of God. So if you are a Christian, you're born again, you're born of His Spirit. And that means that Spirit is a deposit. If it's a deposit, it means there's more to come. Does that make sense? So I want more. I want what God has for me. No longer am I going to stand on the sidelines and just cheer. I want to participate. I want to be in the game. I want to score the goal. I want to run the race as if to win the prize. That means sacrifice for me. That means there'll be a price that I need to pay physically, mentally, emotionally, and financially. When I become a Christian and God dealt with my pride, I made a decision to do whatever he called me to do as long as he assured me it was him calling me. As long as it was his voice that I heard and not the voice of deception. I've gone against the grain because the Lord has called me to walk in humility. I've not gone with the crowd because the crowd is going one way. It doesn't mean they're right. It doesn't mean I'm right. If there's 10 and one, and there's only one saying no, it doesn't mean that one voice is wrong. It doesn't mean that one voice is right. That means I need to ask the Lord. Same as you. There's a cost involved, but as we come together, we can see that the Spirit will help us in our weakness. See, in this portion of Scripture here, there's a key in the portion of Scripture. It says he helps us in our weakness. It doesn't say he helps us in our strength, because he doesn't need to. He helps us in our weak areas. When we say, I don't seem to be getting much help from God in this situation, it's because you're capable. God's already gifted you. You know, there's some people that can take programming and they can read it. It's like reading in tongues to me. I ain't got a clue. I struggle with the simple. I'll tell you this story. This is true. Nigel will back me up. I bought a computer when I was in business, when they first came out. And I said to Nigel, would you show me how to use it? And he's going, yeah. I went, no. So this is what he did. Switch on the button. Make sure you've plugged it in at the plug. Click this button here. He understood my language. It's true, isn't it? Because to some people, it's obvious, you switch it on, don't you? That's how ill-informed I was. I didn't know. I thought a mouse was something that I caught in a trap, not that I had to move around. And that's the way I am. But if I hadn't have asked, I never would have learned. And there's times where I struggle with things, and instead of struggling, I just ring someone up and say, would you come and help? That's what body ministry is. But the Spirit will help us in our weakness. So is there something that you're struggling with? Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Do you not know that we ought to pray what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. So we can have an understanding that even when we're not sure of what we should pray, Lord, I don't know what to do, we're not on our own. The Holy Spirit is there with us. Let's not use the Holy Spirit. Let's not use this spiritual language as if it's a dirty word. Let's see it empowered in our lives. The Holy Spirit is there to help you, to comfort you. Jesus says himself, if I go to the Father, I send the Comforter. He's there to comfort you. He's there to guide you in accordance with God's will or the will of God. He will move in us and through us. So I want us to be even more unified this year than what we already am, or already are. I know that we are. And it's been a privilege as the small part that I've had to play in this church. It's been a privilege to watch lives change. To see people grow and experience God's favor. Given it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So often this scripture is used and abused that we can talk about. I mentioned today about building. I mentioned today about counting the cost and sowing finances into what God wants to do here in this church, not overseas, not with anything else, but here. To see God build this church here, it takes money. I could preach this message and say, listen, with the measure you give, you'll give back. If you sow a seed of this much, God will give you that much. It's not what we're saying here. It's about the heart. You know, there's things I am reaping today because I sowed it 20 years ago. There are blessings I'm seeing today because I sowed 20 years ago. And 20 years ago, I didn't know that I'd be receiving it today. But out of obedience, when I smiled at someone, when I was gracious to someone, when I forgave somebody, when I gave financially, when I gave of my time, I didn't know that 20 years on, I was going to reap that benefit. But the Bible tells me to be expectant. So as we go into this year and we give, God wants to press it down. He wants to take whatever we have and multiply it. And you know what? If we give in faith, not through persuasion, if we give in faith, then God will multiply what we're giving. And I'm not just talking about money here. I'm talking about our attitude. I'm talking about our time. I'm talking about our prayers. If you pray for me because you want to pray for me, then there'll be a return. If I pray for you because it's on my heart, there'll be a return. And it's the same when we give financially. It's the same when we give of our time and our talents and our resources. A kind word turns away wrath, but that kind word. There are things that I've experienced in the last 3 months of other people's generosity. This is the world. I've gone into the world and asked for something. They said, don't worry, Andrew, you can have that. This isn't Christians being generous. This is the world. Because they've seen something within me and they want to give back. And that will be the same for you as we go into this year. Let's give out of a heart of obedience and generosity, whatever that may mean to you. Are you okay so far? Just another hour. Did I say that out loud? No. We start on time, we'll finish on time. That's one of the things we've tried to do within church, is start on time and finish on time. But I want us to be blessed. I want us to be challenged and changed. In Acts 4, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. There's something about praying with others. You know, I was so blessed on Tuesday. You know the size of our church. We had 9 people coming out on a Tuesday to pray together. You know, when we pray together, it spurs each other on. You know, I'm somebody that if I'm praying on my own, I can only really pray effectively if I go for a walk and I start praying. Or when I'm with other people, I seem to pray even more than I do when I'm on my own. It might be different for you. You might be structured. You might be able to string words together. But I sit there and I'm thinking, what do I pray about, Lord? But as soon as I'm with other people, as they pray, it ignites something within me to pray more. And there's something powerful about when we meet together. So if you can come on a Tuesday, come with us. Come and pray with us. Or at least send me a text to say, you know, you're meeting at this time, Andrew. I'm going to take 10 minutes and I'm going to pray with you. We're going to pray over the prayers that we stick in this box. It's only a symbol. There's nothing powerful about this box. It is just a box. I'm not a magician. But there's something symbolic about saying, Lord, I'm laying this at your feet. I'm believing for this. And that's why I want you to put it in an envelope. Because I don't want you to be held back by thinking someone else will read your prayer. I want you to be as bold as you want to be. If there's healing in your life, pray for it. If there's health in other areas, not just a physical, if it's mental, emotional, pray for it. If it's financial, pray for it. If it's about seeing God use you in a way you have a desire to minister his word in a different way, pray for it. Let's believe for it. Let's pray together until we see the answer. Let's come boldly using his word. The Holy Spirit spoke and they spoke the word of God boldly. You know, I hope that I can be that person. Speak the word of God boldly. You know, if it's in here, that'll come out of here. That's why, for me, God's chosen to use it a certain way because of the things I struggle with. But if it's in here, it'll come out of here. That's why it's important to read and encourage one another. You know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. That means Christian sharpens Christian. We come together and we encourage and we challenge. In Hebrews 10:19, it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, we need to understand that we can enter His gates with thanksgiving because we have confidence. Not confidence in our ability, but confidence in the shed blood of Jesus. I had a conversation with someone earlier about the cross. Everything that you did and you will do and you are yet to do is nailed to the cross. We can come boldly by a new and living way, not a dead way, not the dead way like the law, but a living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body. Remember, there was a curtain in the temple. Read your Old Testament. And it separated mankind from God, and only the high priest could enter. Therefore, with the blood sacrifice. And when Jesus hung on the cross, and it says the curtain was torn from top to bottom, it meant it opened up the way for you and I to go directly to God. This is why his word is so important. This is why you don't need to go to a priest. You don't need to call me Father. You go directly to God. Yes, it's good to pray for each other, or else this message is irrelevant and unity. But you can go to Father yourself, because the Holy Spirit can give you the words to pray. It says we should enter it boldly. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence, I want us to have confidence this year. Not in our ability, but in what He's called us to be. I can do the things He's called me to do. Is that true? Well, if it's true for me, it's true for you. Yeah, but no buts, no ifs. It's true for you. It's true for you. I want to encourage us this year. And if it means me getting excited, then I'll get excited. By the new and living way opened up for us, that means us, all of us. The curtain was torn. His body bled and was sacrificed for us. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, it's the house of God, we are a spiritual house as well. Let us draw near to God with sincere heart and with full assurance, not half assurance, but full assurance, that faith brings. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. This is not an isolated word. It's not about one man or one woman just preaching. This is about us encouraging each other, spurring each other on, saying, you can do this. I'm going to pray with you that you get a breakthrough. Spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. As we come together, we encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. As we look through Scripture, I just challenge you to look at Scripture as if you're going to preach. Look at Scripture as if you're going to preach, and you will see it differently. Because you'll start off looking, pick a subject, and then find that subject in the Bible, look at it as if you're going to give a 10-minute sermon, and all of a sudden you'll start preaching in the mirror. You'll get the brush and you'll start talking. You'll see things you haven't seen. You'll experience things you haven't seen before or haven't experienced. I guarantee it. Try it. Let me know how you get on. I want us to be unified in a greater measure, knowing that you're not on your own, but God can work in you and through you. I don't have any time, really. So I'm going to go to my final scripture. And Emma and Nigel are going to come and lead us in worship. As time goes, let me just finish with this. John 17:11. I will remain in the world no longer, Jesus says. But they are still in the world. That's his disciples. So when you look at this portion of scripture, he's talking to his disciples. So just listen to what he says. But they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. And it'd be easy just to think, well, that's for the disciples. That's why we need to keep reading. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Still the disciples. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them, set them apart by the truth. Your word is truth, talking to the disciples. But we need to keep reading. My prayer is not for them alone, Paul says. Jesus says, his word says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me, Jesus says, through their message. So the message that the disciples preach, all those that believe that message, that's you and I. So this shows us that we're not on our own. That this prayer that Jesus gave wasn't just for the disciples to be protected. It was for all those that will believe. Do you believe? Well, that's for you. Let's unify this year. Let's come together. Let's pray over God's plans and purposes. Let's believe for the signs, wonders, and miracles. The dynamis of the Holy Spirit, however that may look to you. Amen. Amen.